Thank you and good morning. I'm presenting this on behalf of my PhD student, Feruz Bouajila. This is part of her PhD research work, effect of nitrogen fertilizer on growth and nitrate content of grafted and non-grafted tomatoes in high tunnel production. And I will say that the yield component of this research is in a poster number 71 in the poster session. So just a very brief introduction to tomato high tunnel production. This is our system at Washington State University in Northwest Washington. Tomato is a significant fresh market vegetable crop, not only in our area, but certainly nationally and internationally, grown throughout the United States in high tunnels. It's also the leading crop grown in high tunnels in the United States as well as internationally. But there has been very limited adoption of high tunnels in northwestern Washington, which is where our research center is located. In trying to understand why this is and trying to advocate for the use of high tunnels in our area, we undertook this research project starting a few years ago. So looking at high tunnel production in our area, and I'm guessing this is probably true for many other areas as well, we tend to have elevated soluble salts and nutrient levels in high tunnels. That's because some of our growers are applying very large amounts of fertilizer and compost, and when you see the compost content in one of the next slides here, you'll see how, you know, we end up with pretty high elevated levels of phosphorus and potassium because growers are applying for nitrogen. But anyways, so high nutrient applications along with intensive crop production, not a high number of plants per unit area, and then the exclusion of rain and leaching keeps those nutrients focused in those tunnels. And our tunnels, we don't take off the skin, we don't take off the plastic during the raining season, so that the plastic is left intact year-round. So if you're taking off the plastic, your situation would certainly be different. But we do see accelerated plant growth in our tunnels. We're a very cool area, a cool climate, Mediterranean-type climate in western Washington. So we get elevated growth in tunnels, and there's really a need for us to look more at soil fertility strategies to really take advantage of the high tunnel production for tomatoes. So we decided to combine this project looking at nutrient management along with grafting. Because we feel that looking around the world, many other areas use grafting to take advantage of these elevated temperatures, high nutrient applications in tunnels, but this is not work that we had done before. So grafting, if you're not familiar with it, is, you know, basically a two-minute process that it enables you to take advantage of a rootstock and a scion to combine those two genotypes to take advantage of below soil level and above soil level plant material. Can enhance plant uptake of water and nutrients compared with non-grafted plants, this coming from the more extensive root system of some of the rootstocks. So the study objectives were to investigate fertilizer source and the use of grafted tomato grown in a high tunnel in northwestern Washington, and the data that I'll be presenting here are plant growth and nitrogen uptake by the plants. So just a quick view of where we are. We are in Mount Vernon, Washington. We're up on the basically off the tip of Vancouver Island there in Washington. We're extremely far north. We're probably one of the farthest northernmost vegetable production zones in the United States. So we're up with Newfoundland, if you look at us on the 48th parallel, approximately. So we're very far north, but we have a very mild climate. So the ocean is buffered, and we have a very mild year-round climate. So high tunnels are really a good fit for us, and we don't have heavy winds. But we just don't have a lot of high tunnel production yet. So, again, that's what our project is really trying to look at overall. So, experimental design. It was a randomized complete block split plot with four replications, and it was completely within the high tunnel. So the main plot treatment was fertilizer. We had a commercial conventional fertilizer provided to us by our local farm supplier. So this was not an organic experiment. But it was what we think of as more of a sustainable experiment. And then the second fertilizer treatment was an integrated fertility treatment where we used poultry manure from our local poultry farm, which is the main provider of compost in our valley where our research center is located. And then we added nitrogen to balance the nitrogen to equal the commercial conventional fertilizer application. Our subplot treatments were Panzer, which is a really nice tomato. I don't know how many of you might be familiar with it, but it was developed for high tunnel production, has just a nice host of disease-resistant high tunnel or it was made for greenhouses, but very well suited to high tunnel production. And then we had it grafted onto three different rootstocks, DRO138TX, Estimino, and Maxifor. And the data that I'm going to be presenting here are a number of leaves per plant, plant height, and prune biomass to just give some idea of plant growth in response to these treatments, and then leaf tissue nitrate and petiole sap nitrate, because we were trying to compare and contrast those two methods for our own sake, because this is not work that we've done before. So just trying to familiarize ourselves with those analyses. So fertilizer application, and this is Firouz applying the fertilizer in her high tunnel. And I will say that Firouz is from Libya. She was an instructor in a university in Libya and came to us for her PhD and had never done field work before. So she did a lot of work for this experiment, and I give her a lot of credit for that. So conventional fertilizer was a custom blend of monammonium phosphate, potassium sulfate, urea, and agricultural lime. And this is just a standard blend from our local farm supplier. So just using what the growers in our area use. And then we applied it at 112 pounds of nitrogen per acre each year, 2015 and 2016 in the tunnel. And then we added calcium to that. The calcium, I will just say, is there to balance the calcium that comes from the manure supply. So what we try to do is we try to balance the primary nutrients in the between the two treatments. So looking at the integrated fertilizer treatment, it was the composted manure plus conventional N, and that N came from urea, just straight nitrogen. And so looking at the looking at what was in the compost, we analyzed it before we set these treatments. You can see that it provides quite a bit of calcium, quite a bit of phosphorus, and quite a bit of potassium. And so those of you working with poultry manure, you know that if you are applying it for nitrogen, you're way over applying your phosphorus and potassium. So this was something that we had to decide going into this experiment. We decided to apply the keep the applications balanced for nitrogen. So we had to provide quite a bit more nitrogen in order not to from the fertilizer source in order not to overapply the potassium and the phosphorus from the manure. So these are just decisions you have to make from an experimental design perspective, and that's a decision we made. So grafting methods, Panzer was seeded, the four plants were seeded in the greenhouse 24th March 2015, 17 March 2016 to get us to a transplant date of late April each year. Plants were grafted 9 and 4 of April each year. It takes us approximately 9 days from grafting to the plants going into the hardening off area, and then another 4 or 5 days for them to be transplanted. So again, I'm not sure how familiar you are with grafting, but we just use a splice grafted method below the cotyledons. Plants are connected with a silicon grafting clip. Takes about approximately 9 days from grafting to healing. And we use a methodology that we developed at our research center in my program. So looking at the data that we collected, we measured a number of leaves per plant and plant height, starting at 21 days after transplanting each year, and then every 3 weeks thereafter, pruning biomass. So Firouz, sorry, the middle picture there, can't get the cursor to work there. But the middle picture there is Firouz pruned every week or as needed to keep the plants to a single stem, single leader. And leaf nitrate, tissue nitrate, sampled the youngest fully mature leaf, and that generally is the fifth or sixth leaf down from the top, four times for this study. I believe it's four times. Sorry, I know we measured five times. And then just following a standard methodology there. And then at the same time that she collected that sample, she also used that sample for the fresh petiole sap nitrate. So she's comparing these two analyses. And that is measured with a cardiometer. So number of leaves per plant, and I will say these are the number of fully mature leaves per plant. So the numbers look a little bit low there, but that's because they don't count the 4 to 5 immature leaves above the growth period there. So looking at conventional and integrated fertilizer, there was a difference between the 2 years, so I'm presenting the 2 years separately. And just in general, what we saw was that there was a greater growth with the conventional fertilizer early in the season, but you can see from the numbers that even though this is statistically significant, so just marked in red there, the p-values, you can see that realistically those numbers are, you know, they wouldn't mean anything to a grower. So while statistically they're significant, from the grower's perspective, there really was very little difference to see in number of leaves per plant between the fertilizer treatments either year. And there, I should just say that there was no difference in number of plants due to, number of leaves per plant due to grafting, so I'm not presenting that data here. So looking at plant height due to fertilizer, again, was tended to be, there were differences due to conventional, the conventional fertilizer tended to be a little bit taller early in the season, both years, and then extending later in the season, the second year. However, in my opinion, these values are, again, probably not of great significance to a grower. So while, again, statistically they're different, we believe to a grower they probably wouldn't make that much difference, to be honest. There was no difference in plant height due to grafting in 2015, but in 2016 there was a difference, with grafted plants being taller than non-grafted plants. All the way up until the last measurement at 107 days after transplanting, and Estimino tended to be the taller plant of all the treatments there. And Estimino, I will say, I don't know how many of you are familiar with Estimino, but it does tend to be the most vigorous rootstock, certainly of the three that we tested. So this result essentially fit our expectation there. Looking at pruning biomass, figure on the left, is the fertilizer treatments, with commercial fertilizer having more pruning biomass than the integrated treatment. You can look at this in a couple of ways. My one way to look at it is, you know, you have more maintenance that you have to do when you're using the conventional fertilizer. Looking at the figure on the right is pruning biomass due to rootstock. This is the total biomass, and the grafted plants have a heavier biomass than the non-grafted plants in both years. So grafted plants having more vigor, more pruning biomass than non-grafted plants. Looking at leaf tissue nitrate, in 2015, there was no difference due to rootstock, and I'm sorry, I should say that there was no difference due to fertilizer either of the years in leaf nitrate N. So looking at grafting, there was no difference in 2015 due to grafting, and in 2016 there were differences at week 7 and 9, with the the non-grafted plants having the lower leaf nitrate at those two measurements than the grafted treatments. Looking at petiole sap nitrate, there was a difference. There was no difference, again, due to fertilizer source, but looking at grafting, there was a difference at week 5 in 2015, and in 2016 there were differences later in the season, with, the non-grafted plants having lower nitrogen in general than the grafted plants. And our general sense right now in comparing the two methodologies is that we feel that the petiole sap nitrate N is a more sensitive measure and something perhaps that might be more useful to growers to determine whether or not they're meeting sufficiency levels for nitrogen. So just a really brief summary here on our findings. The number of leaves was greater for conventional fertilizer than for integrated fertilizer early in mid-season in 2015 and mid-season in 2016. There was no effect of number of leaves per plant due to grafting. Plant height was greater for plants with conventional fertilizer early in the season in 2015, but not in 2016. On all but the last sampling date in 2016, and there was no effect of plant height due to grafting in 2015, but in 2016, grafted plants tended to be taller. So the plant biomass was also greater with with a conventional fertilizer and due to grafting. So in general, we felt that the grafting created greater plant biomass than non-grafting, and the conventional fertilizer created greater biomass or plant growth than the integrated fertilizer. Looking at nitrogen summary, there was no effect on leaf tissue nitrate or fresh petiole nitrate due to the fertilizer source. And looking at grafting, there was no effect in 2015, but in 2016 there were higher levels with the grafted plants. And there was a significant increase in fresh petiole sap nitrate after transplanting with Estimino in 2015 and all three rootstocks in 2016. So while those are all the results, I will say that our conclusions from this experiment are that we feel that if you're going to be using grafted plants in a high tunnel and you're looking at different fertility treatments, we think that probably different grafting rootstocks, different rootstocks will probably, may have a different scenario for different fertilizer applications. And this is something that we saw in Europe. We did a study tour in Europe last year looking at grafted plants and high tunnel production, and they almost have different recipes for each rootstock scion combination for each different crop. So I think this is something that we should think about maybe more seriously here in the United States for our different regions if we're using grafted plants in tunnels. So I don't know if I have time for questions, but all right, one question. Yes. Yeah. So we collected the leaf in the field. We put it onto ice, and then we brought it into the laboratory, and then we stripped the leaf tissue off that leaf. Right. The petiole. So what, I'm just making sure we're all on the same page here. So then we had the petiole, and then we clipped the petiole and we squeezed the sap onto the cardimeter. Does that make sense? Cardi. The cardimeter. C-A-R-D-Y. It has a strip. Anybody else familiar with the cardimeter? Yep. I don't think I'm allowed to take another question. Our moderator says we're out of time. But I'd be happy to talk to you.